This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
This is Michael Gannot with Insight to Israel, brought to you by America's Web Radio. And I want to thank you to everyone, all the patriot conservatives in the United States of America, that support the Jewish state and its fight for sovereignty and security. And I want to thank everyone also who is giving to Hershey's for Heroes. I just got another shipment of 72 Hershey's chocolate bars, a note on each one saying thank you to an Israeli soldier for defending the Jewish state. It's amazing how Americans have jumped on board with this and are showing their love to the soldiers. I am sitting here right now in the Heritage House with a very special guy that I have on the show today, by the name of Ben Packard. Excuse me, I apologize, Ben. Rabbi Ben Packard. And Ben and I met for the first time some weeks ago, but we've been friends on Facebook through a mutual friend, Joel. Joel Griffith. Sorry, I said he's my friend. I can't remember his last name. Through Joel Griffith, a friend of mine in Washington, D.C., and I kind of checked out Ben, watching his progress on Facebook and some of the things he posts. And I thought, you know, this guy, he's got it together. And he started the Heritage House. Am I correct, Ben?
No, I took over the Heritage House from Rabbi Meir Schuster. He's a famous rabbi here in the Old City. Unfortunately, he's ill. He has a pretty serious medical condition. And so I took the helm to keep the organization going, and we've kept his legacy going and moved in a few new directions as well.
Nice. Ben, thank you for being on the show. I appreciate it. You're the first rabbi I've interviewed since I had the show
for about six months. It's an honor.
Well, hey, listen, you guys do a fantastic job here. You do a lot of work with the soldiers and allowing them to come and stay here for free. And tourists come here and stay, if I understood you correctly, for free.
For free, yeah.
At the Heritage House. And how many beds do you have?
We have 45 beds, but we have more mattresses. Sometimes we need them.
You know, I'll tell you, we'll get to the work of the Heritage House, because I think it's important. But I want to start off by asking about you. You are an American who is now an Israeli citizen.
That's correct.
And how old are you?
35.
35.
But I look younger.
You do look younger. I thought you were probably 27 or something. You got that boyish...
I got it.
The beard. It's the beard.
I'm blessed. Blessed.
It brings out that boyish look, you know? You got that innocence about you as a young man. So, 35. Now, where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Petersburg, Virginia. Just south of Richmond.
No, exactly. Yeah, you're in some very right wing country there.
Our Petersburg itself is a little liberal island there, surrounded by conservatives. But it wasn't always that way.
Right. Now, there's obviously, if you're saying that, there's got to be a university or something in that town.
No, it's just very. I think they call it African American.
Ah, okay, so, gotcha. Okay. Well, look, that goes to figure. You know, as much as there's some great people out there, like Lieutenant Colonel Alan West.
Right, sure.
Alan Keyes, that are ostracized by their own people. And it's very unfortunate that there's an ideology that has not just crept in to our culture.
I would say it's similar, that the black community is very similar to the Jewish community, and they've been manipulated by Spencers into what their interests are not, and they vote at their detriment. It's not just the black community; the
right.
Jewish community does it as well.
Very
Hispanic
good point.
Community often does it. It's a solid number of the electorate. Unfortunately, often votes against their interests.
Yeah.
As a result of misguided leaders. Who are looking out for themselves.
Or leaders that misguide.
Yeah, they misguide, and they look out for themselves and to the detriment of their communities.
Yeah.
It's unfortunately widespread.
Well, that very valid point, and thank you for being, spot on. That's great stuff. Ben, so, okay, we're talking Petersburg, Virginia. Are there a lot of Jews in that area?
Very few Jews in the Petersburg community. There were more in the past. The community has dwindled.
Why is that? Did they come home? I guess that's what I'm looking for.
The city has is going through a rough time, and the economic situation is not what it once was. So many people have moved on to bigger cities.
So what was it like growing up in a community where there weren't a lot of...
My first 7 years of elementary school, I went to Catholic school. We were the only Jewish family in the Catholic school, but I must say that we were welcomed very warmly. And,
of course.
And we never had any problems. The clergy and different nuns and priests were always as nice and non-discriminating as possible. And we always felt very welcomed and respected.
Yeah.
At the St. Joseph's Catholic School. And
right, so we give kudos to St. Joseph's.
And for high school, I went to the public school, where there was one other
government-run education.
Yes. Wasn't as good.
And you came out good. That's awesome. Doctorated, you know?
Yeah, it was an experience.
Wow.
But there was one other Jewish family in the school.
So yeah.
We were a pretty small minority.
Yeah. So what... were your parents, were they religious at all? Like,
so there's one synagogue in Petersburg. It's a conservative synagogue. So
okay.
I remember very clearly asking my father why we don't keep more of the rules. And he said, it's not because we don't believe in them. It's just there's so few Jews in the area.
Right.
It's just very difficult.
But you kept the holidays and things
like
that?
Of course, yeah. We were very involved in the synagogue and the holidays.
Nice.
Traditions. But in terms of the actual law...
The details.
You know, listen, there's not a kosher restaurant in Petersburg.
Of course.
I played a lot of sports as a kid. There's no sports. Sports events are on Saturday. That's a great day for them to be on.
Right, right.
So, you know, the Sabbath was a bit...
You know, let me say this. I'm going to interrupt. I'm glad you said that, because I don't say this a lot, but... And I say this with... And this is not Ben saying it. This is me saying it. If we'd have stuck... If the Christian folks... And I'm Protestant, so let me clarify that. And this is no slight, I'm just stating what is. If we'd have just stuck with the Hebrew calendar, which is what we should be doing. There's a lot I've learned when I went to seminary. I went to Protestant seminary. And there's a lot I've learned since I've been here. You guys have it right. You guys got it straight. So we'd have probably had sports on Friday before Shabbat. And then, you know where I'm going with this.
Right,
so
I hear it.
It's amazing. It is amazing what I've learned here. So, from you guys, from this country, I've been blessed. But, so you grew up in...
I mean, listen, we're from the South, and the Southern people are very welcoming.
Absolutely.
Very accepting. You don't want to not be part of the community. A lot, you know, but they're not Jewish. So,
right.
Yeah, things are on Saturday, and they invite you out, and it's... you don't want to be rude,
right?
So it's a bit of a tough situation. People are very nice, and you don't want to disrespect them. So you know, keeping the laws was difficult,
right?
And a lot of Jewish people in the South, and all of America. Listen, the American people have been great to the Jewish people,
absolutely.
So
at the grassroots level,
yeah, sure.
And that's where
the
it's
regular
at,
American people for hundreds of years. You know, sometimes the laws make that a little more difficult, and a lot of Jewish people have kind of slacked on that a little bit.
You know what, Ben? I'll tell you. I'm going to hit this point again, and I'll tell you why. There used to be a time in the United States. Look, the Bible was a very intricate part of our public school system up until the early 1900s. And we saw the progression of our ethics go downhill, starting with the Roaring Twenties. And, you know, look, I mean, people were definitely a lot more moral then than they are now. Just talked to a woman last night, her and her husband, fantastic people. 10 children, all of them with Hebrew names. They're Christian. And they, in my small town in West Virginia, I'm making my point, in my small town in West Virginia, drugs are so bad. In a small town, the drugs and the murder are so bad. Are so bad. So my point in saying all that is there was a time when we had blue laws
right.
all across the country that said, you know what, Sunday's a day of Sabbath, it's a day of rest. Now, it may have been on Sunday again, but the fact is that we tried to honor God.
Having a standard of morality doesn't guarantee a moral society,
absolutely.
But not having a standard does guarantee
right.
an immoral society.
Look, you can't legislate righteousness, but a people have a responsibility to stand for what's right. Let me repeat that again. You cannot legislate righteousness, but a society has an obligation to stand up for what is right.
100%.
And to honor God and thank Him for our blessings. And I think there's enough evidence. And again, I don't want to veer off too far, but I will say this. If it had not been, and here is where I owe the Jewish people my life, if it had not been for the Jewish people receiving Torah, the facts remain that I would not have a constitution or bill of rights that were established on the principles of the Mosaic Law. And I owe more than just my father, who was a Green Beret. I owe more than my grandfather, who fought in World War II. More than my founding fathers. I take it back clearly to the Jewish people and their obedience to Hashem. You're in this town, you grow up. Was there any emphasis on Israel in your home?
Sure, we're pro-Israel people. Like you said, grassroots Americans.
Absolutely.
Always pro-Israel. I never had any experiences of any anti-Israel. That would have been bizarre behavior in Virginia.
Yeah.
Everybody was, this was America's friend from a non-Jewish point of view, and from a Jewish point of view, this was our homeland.
Yeah.
And it was to be supported to the best of our abilities, and it always was. My father often led the.
Kids outside the window playing with little whistles. Hey, that's what's amazing. I love walking through the old city because we're in the old city in Jerusalem through the Jaffa Gate. And you walk through these streets, and especially in the Jewish quarter, just kids walking around.
A lot of kids.
Laughing, playing.
Prophecy that the kids will come back and play in the streets of Jerusalem. And
wow.
Man, if you don't see it.
It is amazing, amazing. And it's heartwarming.
And thank God some of those are my kids.
That's awesome. So, the reason why I asked that question about, an emphasis on Israel in your home, I interviewed one young lady that is from Nashville, Tennessee, from that area, from I think it's Pulaski County. And she said, there was really no Jewish, a lot of Jews in our area, and there was not, it's not that we didn't think about it, it's not that it wasn't talked about, there wasn't a real emphasis placed on Israel. Until she made Taglit, birthright, and it changed her whole life. And she ended up like finishing her senior in high school and immediately coming to Israel, knowing no Hebrew, and joined the IDF.
I mean, it's a testament to the United States and the people of the United States that Jews could live in isolated places.
Yeah,
and in Europe.
No, that's a very good.
In Europe, you live in a place they'd kill you.
Yeah. Here, no, Eastern Europe is even showing, it's rearing its head.
It hasn't changed.
Yeah.
But in America, there could be five Jewish families in town and feel completely secure and not worry about any kind of violence or even intimidation.
Yeah.
Whereas in Europe, that was an impossible
Ben,
situation.
I'll tell you, I look at the state of our country, and anyone that's listening to the show, there's probably a lot of people that may be left-wing or what have you, their ideology is not so good, right? And that's... that's their decision, but I have a responsibility to tell the truth. I have a conscience, and a lot of people listening know that our country is in some very dire straits, and it breaks my heart because it is because of these things that you're talking about. It's because of our values that we were founded on that we've been so blessed, so very blessed. And yeah, look, there were times we didn't stand with Israel under the Nixon administration. And Golda Meir had to call Richard Nixon personally when Henry Kissinger would not support the Jews.
Jewish himself.
Yeah, Jewish himself. And he said, let them bleed a little. In the Six-Day War?
No, Yom Kippur War.
Yom Kippur War, which is coming up. We have the celebration of Yom Kippur coming up. Mm-hmm. And in spite of that, at the government level, you and I both know, and I'm very thankful, that at the grassroots level, the patriot conservatives, the right wing, the Christians... they would come here and fight with you today.
Their support is stronger than ever.
And it makes me proud to sit across this desk and look at you, Ben, knowing that you're Jewish and a rabbi. And I'm thankful that I know that at the grassroots level we support you and stand with you.
Time's the best.
So, anyway, you got a lot of fans coming in here.
In this area.
Okay, when was your first trip to Israel?
My first trip, I was 15. I came on a teenage trip to Israel. It was the first time.
What organizations come with? Because there's a lot of stuff that Israel supports.
I came with a group called Young Judea. I didn't really know much about the organization, but they had a trip, and it was 6 weeks long. And somebody suggested it to us, and I came. And when I came, the counselor on the trip said, "You know, do you have any plan in the future to be connected with Israel?" And I said, "Yeah, I mean, I plan on moving here. What else would I plan on doing?"
Wow.
And I see him.
15.
I see him. I see him from time to time. He still works with the Birthright trips, and we actually work together once in a while. And all these years later, and we're both here.
Yeah.
So
wow.
He's Canadian. But, so, I mean, for me, it was always a goal, a real goal, realistic goal, and I thank God I'm blessed to be here, here in the old city of Jerusalem.
Why did you choose to, at what point did you find yourself saying, because you're 35, you're a young guy.
Yeah, well, like I said, the community of Jews in Petersburg is quite small. And a lot of times you have community norms and ideas that are not really necessarily based on what the Torah or the rabbis say.
Right.
And when I was reading it on my own, it all appeared very clear to me that the theme was to try to get back to Israel. And now it was easier than ever.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah,
it is.
It's easier than that.
Come.
Airplane.
Come while it's easy. Ben, listen. I go off on this topic because I'm very adamant about it. Okay. Look, Isaiah prophesied Israel. God said, "I'll gather you from the four winds." I have elderly women that I'm friends with on Facebook that are Jewish that live in the United States. They want to come. They want to come. And yet, for some reason, I'm gonna pound this home. I got guys that I know that are Jewish, able-bodied, okay, sitting around worried about their pocketbook, that are religious. And I'm going to say it openly, brother. If you say you're religious and you're wearing a kippah and you ain't in Israel and you're able-bodied, you're disobedient to Hashem. Now, that's me saying it. Because if God's made the way, if He prophesied it, and you know Torah, and you come here and get your pictures taken at the Western Wall with the phylactery on, and you're back in the United States sitting while people are fighting for this country, while people are dying for this country, while people are making a success out of this country, bringing entire families, while Americans live in Judea and Samaria, when they've got the threat of Islam at their doorstep, I'm sorry, you have no excuse. You have no excuse. You're disobedient to Hashem. I'm saying it, man. I can't emphasize it enough. It goads me. Because I'm a goy standing in a place where a Jew ought to be from the United States.
It's a complicated situation.
Obedience is not complicated.
But it is. Like I said, there are people on one level, and there are people on another. And the question is, where is everybody holding? Yeah, you know, you ask people questions, you know. Yeah, you know, some people just don't have it in them, or they don't think they have it in them to stand up when they're tested. We all know that.
Listen, Abraham
was exempted.
By faith.
Yeah.
Sojourned into a land that they knew not. American Jews, I'm speaking mainly to the right wing, because we don't need land given away for peace, okay?
And it won't be real peace anyway.
I love you. And I'm telling you, it's time to come home. Because as America turns its back on God, and there's no turning back. Once the domino's tipped, you do not pull it back up. As Hashem, as God, withdraws His hand of mercy and grace upon the United States and blessing, because we thumb our nose at Him in unrighteousness, there will be no place left to go. Home. Home. Anyway, I don't mean to...
We know that the rabbis tell us that when the Jews left Egypt, 80% stayed.
Mm-mm-mm.
And those 80% are lost, you know, are lost to the Jewish people. I hope that doesn't happen with American Jewry, but if you look at the numbers,
yeah,
they're shockingly similar.
Now, the exciting thing is, On a positive note, there are now more Jews in the state of Israel than there are in the United States.
Yeah, for sure. Especially, certainly, identifying Jews.
Yeah.
Certainly.
So what made you become a rabbi?
It says in our rabbis say that in a place where there's no man strive to be a man, and I'm certainly not one of the bigger rabbis in Israel, not even one of the biggest rabbis in the neighborhood, honestly not one of the bigger rabbis in the building. but that being that as it may, I did grow up in a non-observant home, very Jewish, identified by a non-observant home.
Right.
There's a lot of Jewish people out there who don't live observant lifestyles, but either feel connected or want to feel connected to Jewish people, and I thought if I can help them strengthen that connection through my experience and slight abilities, then I'm going to go for it.
Wow!
And if the title of rabbi will help me do that, then that's what I'm going to.
Nice.
That's what I'm going to do.
Nice. That's amazing.
What we did. I was a rabbi on campus in America, in North Carolina, for 4 years, UNC and Duke University, and now I'm applying what I learned there back here.
What age did you make this decision?
Probably my late teens,
yeah,
early 20s. You know, thank God I married a woman that was willing to go along with this.
Now, where's
she from? Here, she's from the old city.
Wow.
In Jerusalem. Our parents are Americans. She has a good English background. And
yeah.
She never lived in America, never been on a college campus. But
sounds like you got a good one.
Thank God, the Lord has blessed me in many ways, but one of the biggest ones definitely is my wife. And we came with one child to North Carolina and had two over there and came back pregnant. And thank God. Thank God. So America was also a land of blessings.
Exactly. How many do you have now altogether?
We have four.
Four. Wow.
Expecting number five.
I haven't even procreated once at 42 by accident, you know? I mean, not that I condone premarital sex, you know, but we're getting into a whole different subject. But anyway, wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. You know, Solomon said, "Blessed is the man whose quiver is full." I don't know if you've read that. If you know, and a quiver, you know, holds the bow, the arrows. You're blessed, man.
Thank God.
And how old are your children?
8, 6, 4, and 2.
Wow, that's got to be amazing to watch them grow up. And
it's pretty special to have them grow up right here in the streets of Jerusalem.
Wow.
Where our ancestors lived in holiness and purity. It's a big blessing in and of itself. They're blessings, but the way they grow up is a big blessing. The rabbis that were blessed to lead us here in the old city are incredible, and we're just blessed all around.
Now, did you serve in the military?
I was fortunate to be able to serve here in the Israel Army.
Thank you for your service, brother.
In infantry combat.
Nice.
And I was further blessed to be able to serve in the Gaza Strip, which unfortunately we're not blessed to these days, but hopefully we will be again soon.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's a crazy situation down there. In fact, we just gave them their first, John Kerry promised them $5 billion after Obama left here. We just gave them their first something like, I posted on Facebook.
It was $180 million.
Yeah, and right now, I got a friend of mine back in the States. A lot of my friends, very close friends, and my family, of course, is very military, in the military currently. I had a conversation with a lady last night, very pro-Israel. She wants to come here very badly, but because of the status of her husband, who is the equivalent in the Navy of a two-star general, and he works in, it's probably not the right term, acquisition. Anyway, he does the budget. His hours, he used to work 65 hours a week. They cut his hours back to 35 and a 30% pay cut. And we're giving Muslims, and I'm going to say it straight up, because these are not Palestinians. At the end of the day, they're Muslims. Every group here, in spite of Sunni and Shia separation, in spite of them killing each other for power, they are all intertwined. There's a big spider net that all these folks are intertwined. All of it leads to Europe, all of it leads to the United States. Africa, Asia, this thing's all over. And it is a spider's web of death. And we're giving them our money. And all they're going to, and they get billions from the global community, especially euros, the limp-wristed. We got them out of two world wars euros. who they're godless anyway. Not all those folks. And I'm not going to make a blanket statement, but pretty much most of them in their government continue to fund Islam and their terrorism. These folks are godless. They got more mosques now in Europe than they do churches. And I think that says a lot about their character and lack of. So we got folks in the United States that are not getting paid, that are veterans, that protect our country. You guys,
I believe they just raised the health care rates for retired military.
Yeah.
That's
And they're over 6 months back pay of our veterans. And at the same time, that money will be used to buy arms.
Undoubtedly.
For Muslims in the West, in Gaza, to kill the Jewish people. And I feel for the military. I feel for these guys. That's why I'm telling you, Ben, I love them. When I see them, I thank them. I just bought, and I'm saying this as sharing, not airing. There were a guy and two young ladies in the central bus station here in Jerusalem yesterday, and I walked up and I thanked them for their service, and I bought. They insisted I don't, but I said, you don't want to offend me. And I said, I want to buy you some ice cream, whatever you're getting. And they were grateful. You see it in their eyes, man. They're like, why? Why? This is we have to defend our country because you have it coming to you. You know?
Yeah, I mean, the whole country here is on the front lines, and the funny part is dire the situation can be at times, we're holding the line.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Where a lot of people aren't able to. I mean, all over Africa, all over Asia, Europe, obviously, there's no line in Europe anymore.
Yeah.
But we're holding the line, thank God. With God's help and perseverance, we're holding the line.
And to think that it's not just a thumb in the eye, but a knife in the gut to the United States when there's a million Muslim march taking place in Washington, D.C. on 9/11.
It's hard to comprehend the level of insensitivity.
Yeah. Listen, Ben, I'm proud of you. I'm thankful that you were obedient, man. Obedient. I respect it. And that you not only just came to Israel, raised your family here, but you became a rabbi. And we're gonna talk about. In the next segment, we're going to talk about Heritage House because I think it's a great thing. And you're in there getting the stove ready for what, a married couple, you said?
Yeah, we do some projects, and in the course of some of the projects, we came across stoves. So instead of throwing it out, we're going to clean it up and donate to a newly married couple so that the wife can make the husband some good food. And that's generally the good start to a relationship.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Man goes out and labors. By the sweat of his brow, brings home the pay, keeps the wife happy. He's doing what he should be as God directed. And there's probably going to be some libs that are going to listen to this.
This is the way that society generally thrives.
Right,
and,
absolutely.
And if someone else can come up with a better idea, God bless him. But
and, look,
I don't see it.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to say it openly. I'm going to quote a little, I'm going to change the verbiage up a bit and quote a little Johnny Cochran who defended O.J. Simpson. Because the United States is trying to go another way, and I say, if the plumbing doesn't fit, the relationship ain't legit. And that's as grammar school as we can get
it. It's amazing how many people didn't pay attention to biology. It's amazing.
Hey, Ben, we're going to come back. This is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel, and we are at the Heritage House in the old city of Jerusalem through the Jaffa Gate. We'll be right back. This is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel. Every day, the Israeli Defense Force finds itself on the front line of the war with the militant arm of Islam. Surrounded by enemies from within and without, they fight for the only Jewish state. Military service is mandatory, ladies serving 2 years and men serving 3 right out of high school. While young people in other democracies are busy traveling or attending university, Israeli men and women gear up for basic training. In a world of heads of state, politicians, ambassadors, diplomats, and a leftist media, many times our voice at the grassroots level is drowned out. So we started an ongoing project called Hershey's for Heroes. Patriot conservatives from all over the U.S. are sending Hershey's chocolate bars with a note of thanks for defending Israel. Won't you join us by sending a sweet message to the IDF? For information, please see my Facebook page at Michael Gano. Thank you, God bless Patriot Conservatives, and God bless Israel in her struggle for sovereignty and security.
This is America's Webradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back. This is Insight to Israel. And Ben Packer is with us today. And Ben, thank you again for coming on the show.
It's an honor.
The first segment was just, wow, we hammered some stuff out there. That's great. You know, I'd like to create a timeline in my head, a mental vision of Ben Packer's life. And so, in doing that, I can only imagine the things when you actually finally settled here in Israel, which was when?
1999.
And you said that your wife, her parents, were from the States?
From the States. My father-in-law is actually from the village in New York.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. So why did they come back? You know, it's amazing because anywhere you go in this country,
there's stories.
There's a story.
Yeah.
And it's always interesting.
And my father-in-law came from a very pro-Israel family, but not so religiously observant.
Right.
He certainly identified as Jews, but we're not so observant. And he came to Israel for university. And while here, he learned a little bit about what Torah was, and he said he's ready to dedicate his life to it. So he's he studies Torah full-time. He's a rabbi. He studies Torah full-time and has been for the last 40 years.
Now, how did you meet your wife?
I met my wife because my study partner in yeshiva got engaged to his wife, and she knew my wife, and he knew me. And he said, well, let's put these two people together and see what happens.
Wow.
And darn if they didn't do a good job.
Exactly. Four kids. I mean, that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
makes me wonder about the ones who have only one or two.
Well, they live right here in the neighborhood with us. Our kids are the same age.
And, nice. Wow.
It's pretty amazing.
Wow. So you get here in 99. What did you have any expectations? What was your game plan?
99 was an interesting time. There was all these hopes for peace. Bill Clinton had declared one of his goals, solving the situation over here, and
which only brought more blues.
I was pretty negative. Yeah, I was pretty negative about the whole thing.
I'm always negative about any kind of something with Islam.
Kind of felt like the guy yelling fire in the crowd of theater sometimes.
Yeah,
people just didn't care. They just. The people wanted peace, and they were willing to believe anything they could,
right,
to make it happen. Shortly thereafter, I was here for a year. Things were relatively peaceful, but after that year, everything kind of exploded.
Yeah, it just creates more bloodshed. Look, as soon as you got your guarantee for prisoner release, your guarantee for money from the U.S. Some Jews started, some rockets went off. It's a sign of thank you. And these weren't 4th of July rockets. Let me clarify. These aren't Roman candles, okay? Yeah. Just for the listeners who...
They're fighting over each other to see who can shoot the rockets.
Yeah. So you get here and what did you...
Well, I knew I needed to study. I knew I didn't know enough.
Oh, so you were getting ready to go to yeshiva at that
point. Yeah, I needed to go to yeshiva, and I knew that. So when I came, I went straight to yeshiva, but I knew I also wanted to serve in the army. So I found a yeshiva where I could do both, where I could, what's called a Hesder yeshiva, combines Torah study and military service. And I found such a place, and it's been 14 years, and I'm still with them today.
How old were you then?
And I was 21 when I came. I just finished college.
When you finished the military?
Well, when I finished the military, I was 23.
Okay.
And I was able to, I studied before. I served my time, and then I studied after.
Yeah.
And then I got married. I continued to study, got my rabbinical ordination, did the stint in the college campus in America. And 3 years ago, we came back for good.
Nice. Wow.
And still have great friends from our time on campus, of course, and love hosting them over here.
Nice. That's the great thing. That you can...
Yeah, we live right here in the old city, so everyone's got to come through.
Yeah, absolutely. And at one time, just as a side note, I heard it was very expensive here to live because this was like the key place. But
it's still quite expensive.
Right. With the continued, thank God, building... of Jewish homes. I don't call them settlements. I call them new neighborhoods.
Well, we need a lot more. We need a lot more.
Absolutely.
Not 1,000 and not 5,000. We need a lot more, but everyone's important.
Absolutely.
And everyone brings an added level of holiness to the city.
Yeah.
So as much as we complain that we need more, which we do, but every house is a blessing.
Exactly. Absolutely. So when did Heritage House start?
So Heritage House is about 30 years old, as I said in the previous segment, started by Rabbi Meir Schuster, himself American, that moved to Israel. And the idea really is to provide a place for inspiration for Jewish people coming to the Jerusalem. Everybody wants to come here, but the signs don't say it all. Sometimes
right.
You need a little bit of help. And not everybody can afford the hotels.
No, you're right.
And so we enable many Jewish travelers, students, and also lone soldiers serving in the Israeli army, the ability to be able to take that inspiration that Jerusalem is able to provide. And we try to provide it in as comfortable and affordable way as possible.
Yeah. No, I think it's good. I'll tell you, I have had several friends who gave no thought to Israel or coming here simply because, a lot of times we're just busy with our life. And so we don't always take the time if you have a family and things like that. But for one reason or another, they ended up coming here since I've been here. And they would email me, "Mike, are you still going to be in Israel? Some things are happening. I'm coming." And I said, "Yeah." And I tell a lot of Americans, I get emails. I've got three or four emails this past week that said, "Hey, I'm interested in coming to Israel. I see what you're posting. Get your emails. And I'm very interested in coming to see." I said, "Come on. We'll put a roof over your head. I'll find a way." As a matter of fact, I want to do exactly what you're doing. There is someone that has a very nice apartment here in Jerusalem. I've cleaned a few of them. Huge apartments. Nice apartments.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to make a way for Americans that want to see Israel, that want to understand the truth, not only in the history. Because a lot of times Americans, and this is why I'm thankful for my job, a lot of times Americans the that are pro-Israel, they understand historically, they understand scripturally why this land belongs to the Jewish people, and they're all about it. They love it. But they don't always get to see the fact that, number one, this army, this military that defends this country is up against some very serious odds on all its borders, from within and without, on both ends. But not just that. They do not always get to, they don't get to see that Israel leads the way in technology, in medicine, in agriculture, which is amazing. They don't get to see all the time, the majority of the time in the media, when I stood on the Golan Heights and looked down into that valley of the Kinneret or the Sea of Galilee, I can't find the words, Ben. What the Jewish people have done in agriculture in 65 years and have turned this thing, there's every kind of fruit and vegetable that you can think of. And they're huge. The grapes are huge.
Yeah, it's true. And there is credit to be given. But on the other hand, let's be honest, Jewish farmers in America are hard to come by. God's blessing has been abundant and clear. Here in the land, everything we've put in the ground has sprouted, and
let me say this: I want to look. I'm not an Israeli citizen, and I'm not Jewish, so I can. It's my show, and I can do whatever I want. But I'll tell you, I've seen both sides. I've seen the borders of this country and looked into Muslim countries. I have seen what the Muslim occupied lands in that are Jewish lands. That the Muslims live here and have every benefit and privilege as the Israeli citizens, even more as they get their discounts at the universities and Jews pay a higher price. As many of them own huge houses. I was in Judea and Samaria. Huge houses. Brand new cars.
The occupation has been good.
And don't pay taxes and run businesses while you pay the higher price for everything. And I'll tell you, brother, I'm going to tell you, I'd look a Muslim in the eye and don't you dare, Don't you dare complain about the Jewish people living here. You're living freer than you would in any Muslim country any day of the week.
Yes, it's the famous verse in the Torah. Those who bless the Jewish people will be blessed. All they need to do is cease the violence
Absolutely. Now, I said that because it is truly, truly, I'm telling you, man, I'm getting ready to go to the North tomorrow. I can't say enough. I don't want to get stuck on this, but brother, I can't find the words. This country is built on blood, sweat, tears, and ingenuity, you know? And I give it to kudos. I'll tell you, I'll fight with the Jewish people here any day for this land because you guys have done fantastic. So,
Thank God. Listen, I mean, God has been very good to us in terms of help, you know, just leading us to this situation we're in today. You know, why we live in this generation and others had to live in other generations that were not as blessed. Is hard to understand. Their levels of holiness were definitely surpassed ours. Yeah. Nonetheless, it's our generation that has benefited to be blessed to be here.
Right.
To continue to build here in all parts of the land of Israel, and to bring as much spirituality and holiness as we can to the land, and to take what the land has to offer us. And It's just an amazing situation. It's unfortunate so many people don't pick up on the main thing. They think sitting on the beach in Tel Aviv is the goal. But there's nothing wrong with the beach. But the main things here is to grow as a spiritual people.
Right.
In the Holy Land. It's the Holy Land. It's
right.
It's not the beach land.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I want to add to that because I think it's there's a strong connection. And again, it comes back to our founding. The founding of the U.S., the post World War II generation that went through the Depression, didn't know they were poor. I talked to them. We didn't know we were poor, and when we went through hard times, there was no running back to mommy and daddy, because what was there to run back to? What were they going to give us more than what we would have gotten ourselves? No, everybody was struggling, you know, and then they went in. People ran to fight, to defend. To fight against the Nazis in World War II. And they came out of that after laboring. And they created they built up the United States, the infrastructure, into what we see today.
And unfortunately, there's too many people trying to tear it down now.
Yeah, absolutely. And the same goes for the Jewish people. And I think about, and I want to encourage listeners, go, and I know, look, we're always going to have our differences. You have the Haganah and the Palmach, okay? Yeah, and then, what is it? There was another group.
Ergun.
Herzl?
Begin.
Begin, okay.
Nothing Begin.
Look, they all were three different kinds of groups, but they all fought for the same thing. They all might have had a different ideology to some degree, but they all fought for the same thing, you know? And in the end, they realized that we need a Jewish state. We need it. And those were the people that scratched out the land that built it to what we have today. So you and I both come from a generation where, yeah, we work. We know we have to. But we didn't have to put in the manpower, the sacrifice that they did.
We have a very good inheritance.
We do. And now, I talked to a lady at the wine festival a couple weeks ago, just by at random. Older lady, I love the generation. I love this generation, Ben, because I have so much to learn. Look, I talk a lot. There comes a time I realize I know I need to zip the lip and listen to someone more seasoned. And she actually was friends with the woman that dated Yoni Netanyahu and knew her and Yoni Netanyahu. Wow. You think I wasn't? Look this up. Listeners, look it up. Yoni Netanyahu, his brother of Benjamin, who died at the reign of Tebbe in Africa in...
1976, huh?
I'm trying to think. And Tebbe is in...
Uganda.
In Uganda. And what a great man. I'm telling you, I saw his life on a documentary that had specific screenings in the States 2 months before I came here. That man sacrificed a lot. And I said, God, if you'll get me to Israel, I'll fight. I'll fight with him. And 2 months later, I'm here. But Americans should look this up if you're pro-Israel. Yoni Netanyahu, the Haganah, the Palmach. These were people that sacrificed everything to give us what we have today. And now all we have to do is keep it and maintain it and build it and improve upon it. So back to Heritage House. So thank you for what you guys do, allowing people to come here at what, no cost?
No cost.
No cost.
We're supported by generous donors in America.
Generous donors.
Who understand the inspiration that Jerusalem holds for the next generation.
Yeah, wow. And I especially respect, I have to say, look, if people choose not to go in the military, that's your business. But, brother, I'm all about it. I'm all about every Jew, everyone serving. I'm glad for national service. And that's where, if you are religious, you don't necessarily have to go in, but you do service. And I think it speaks well. I think it speaks well. But I'm glad. There's something about when I see a soldier, and I know what they're up against. Ben, thank you for serving, brother. I can't say it enough. And I think it disciplines you. Look, we all have problems in both sides, whether it's the government or the military. You're always going to get things that don't always go the way we think they should.
Right.
Or agree with everything that takes place. But overall, you have one Jewish state. And you've got to maintain it. And it's the men and women that wear the uniform. I'm telling you, man, if I could do a group hug, they are humble, humble young people.
Sure.
That know they have to fight. And so allowing them to come here to have a place,
sure,
where they can get some encouragement. It can't be easy. It's not been easy for me, and I'm not even Jewish. But I do feel at home. And what are some of the experiences you've had, like, here at the Heritage House with
our soldiers?
Soldiers. Let's say, let's talk about that. But what are some of the highlights here that you've experienced at the Heritage House?
You know, we have people who come here when they have no idea why they come here. They just the Heritage was a place to come to, so they show up. And next thing you know, they're studying Judaism full time that they never thought they would. Maybe they're seeing parts of the country that not everybody gets to see. Maybe they're even helping out. We have a guy here right now, came on birthright like so many others, and yesterday he was excavating an ancient synagogue in Hebron. One day off of birthright, he's already contributing to the country by revealing a building that's 1,200 years old. I mean, how many people can even dream of doing such a thing?
That's memorable.
Yeah, so he'll never forget that.
Yeah.
He'll never forget that. And then we have others that join the military and serve with distinction. And their experiences are priceless. I mean, you can't put a price tag on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get the best of everything by being able to do it. But we are able to provide them with the housing they need and the support and love that their families are back in America that they may be lacking from such a close, range. And we're happy to do it. It's an honor. You know, we visit our soldiers in isolated outposts.
Wow.
And, that you have to walk through mountains to get to. And,
wow.
You know, it's just it's a privilege to be able to see them and support them. And so many other Jews that come for holidays and other, important events that wouldn't be able to, go to the Western Wall,
yeah,
and see the amazing inspiration and spirituality.
Yeah.
And we can provide them with the logistics to be able to do it that they otherwise wouldn't have access to. And it's really a job you enjoy waking up for and not going to sleep for.
Yeah, nice. You know what we need to do? This Hershey's for Heroes thing. I've garnered over 500 Hershey's chocolate bars, and it's going to be ongoing. I'm going to keep going because, things are tough all over the world. And some people are into doing the big projects, and I respect that. If they can get it done, I respect it. But sometimes it's the little things, Ben.
Sure, 100%.
And when someone takes the time to buy kosher, these are all kosher chocolate bars, out of love and respect for the Jewish people. When a family, I had a single mother send 36 Hershey's chocolate bars. Her and her daughter took the time to put notes on them.
Beautiful.
And the box itself, the Hershey bars, 32 Hershey bars, we're talking about 12, 13 bucks, maybe a little more. But the shipping itself was $60. Oh. Now, for a single mother, that's a lot of money. That's milk, that's gas, that's bread, that's oatmeal. That's, you know, a Hershey's chocolate bar to make Junior happy. Mm-hmm. So it's these folks that, and a lot of these bars, I have to say, a lot of them have come from West Virginia. People I know. Or people I'm friends with on Facebook that I've met. So what I want, what I'm saying is let's maybe there's something we can do and get some Hershey's chocolate bars to some soldiers, maybe on a base or look. It doesn't matter to me how far I have to travel, what terrain I have to go over, to hand a chocolate bar to a soldier and say, look, I came all the way to bring this message to you from the people of the United States. We love you.
It definitely can have a tremendous impact.
Yeah. So maybe we can hook up and do something together. And,
sounds good.
Throw a backpack on or something, whatever, and take some Hershey's to some heroes. And let's also use the fact that you're an American, you know, born and raised, and get the Jewish community to send some chocolate bars for this project. If we can partner up with that.
Okay. Definitely worth.
But no, I think it's fantastic that you guys... Look, I've seen a lot of these pictures that you have here of activities you've been involved with. Looks like you're taking folks on some tours, like you said. And on these tours, is there anyone specifically that you can think of that it's just made such a huge impact?
Well, yeah. I mean, it impacts everybody, obviously.
Right.
But there's... You know, there are people who are really, you know, unlike the previous generations, as you mentioned, they're really raised without purpose.
Right.
There's really a lack of that. And when you show them something like the divine return of the Jewish people.
Oh, it's amazing.
To the land of Israel, and then you explain to them in a clear fashion that they're actually part of it, and they have a role to play.
Wow.
Well, their purposeless life becomes purposeful real quickly.
Right.
And they're just overwhelmed at what needs to be done, but the fact that they can actually do it or
yeah.
play a role in it. And it's that's a pretty much a constant, which is an amazing thing. It reflects Jerusalem, the holiness and specialness of the place. But the fact that there's a role for everybody to play, there's a purpose in life. There's an active role in the redemption of the Jewish people, the land of Israel, it's just a constant source of inspiration.
Yeah.
And we see it regularly. And all you have to do is show people.
Yeah.
Doesn't take them long.
Yeah.
For them to figure out, hey, wait a minute, I am part of that.
Absolutely.
And I have a role to play, and I better get on it because I'm a little behind. and that we see that on a daily basis.
I can't imagine.
It's amazing.
I've been to some of these archaeological sites. I've never done a dig. But I think that... I can't imagine being a young person when I look at your past. And or even a young lady that, like I mentioned earlier, that's a lone soldier. Her name's Jenna Lippman. Jenna lives in Tekoa, which is in Judea. Very disputed area. But... This girl was 18 years old when she came here. Didn't even know Hebrew. But it was that important to her. I can't imagine being on a dig. And as much as, since the time of Abraham, as death has been on the heels of the Jewish people, coming here and doing a dig and being Jewish, a young person, maybe that was never really emphasized. Israel's never really emphasized. And doing a dig and knowing, wow, these are my people.
Yeah, the archaeological finds are incredible, and to think that you can play a role in them would be beyond comprehension.
Yeah,
you know, just in the last few generations, and nowadays it's all around.
Yeah,
City of David here is unbelievable.
Now, how many countries do you get young people staying here in
that? Oh well, there's no real limit. I mean, of course, the majority are Americans.
Right,
but you know, England, South Africa. Canada, Argentina, France.
Wow.
Now, countries with large Jewish populations, but occasionally you get that one from, you know, Hungary, Poland.
Wow.
You know, far-flung communities. And within the United States, we recently had somebody from Idaho.
Idaho. Wow, I didn't know there were any Jews in Idaho.
The biggest Jewish population. But
wow.
There are. And
just when you think you're alone in the world.
Like the prophecy says, they'll come from all over.
Absolutely.
So we see it. We see them from all over. Of course, we see large numbers from places with large communities, but we see it from all over.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing to me. I'm thankful for the way my mother raised me, my parents, raising me up on Torah to respect and honor, to stand with the Jewish people.
Well, there's no doubt that the American people's treatment and respect for the Jewish people has played a large role in the success of the country.
Yeah.
There may be those who dispute it, but history is clear. There's never been a country as respectful and tolerant to the Jewish people. And there's never been a country as successful as the United States of America.
Yeah.
If you think they're not connected, okay. It's in many ways it would seem obvious to me.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, it to see these Jews, the Jewish people come home from all different... When I ride the bus, that's my biggest joy is riding the bus. I never thought
there
I'd say
there are a few countries with buses as exciting as ours.
I never thought I'd say it, but every time I get on the bus, look, I can't help it. I got to reach out to people, talk to someone, or I see a soldier and say thank you.
There's a reason that the buses are a target of the terrorists.
Right.
It's not just,
right.
Not just the people on them, it's the spirit.
Right.
It's the spirit. The spirit is what they're trying to kill.
Yeah.
And the spirit's what they'll fail to kill
and
the most.
When I ask people where they're from, where are you from? Argentina or Idaho or... It is breathtaking to see prophecy every day fulfilled before my eyes when I, like we said, everybody's got a story here. And to hear those stories, there's not enough radio shows, there's not enough video.
It's constant.
It's constant. And sometimes I look at pictures back in the States on my friend's Facebook page and stuff, and I look at it, and I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this, or people are going to think I'm defecting. If things get much worse in the U.S., I'm going to hand in my passport and say I had to seek political asylum.
Well, let's hope it doesn't come to that. America is, unfortunately, it is going through a rough time.
Very rough.
But hopefully it can be used as an opportunity to to come back stronger than ever.
Absolutely.
I don't know if that's the case, but we got to hope and pray that it is.
Absolutely. So, I look at pictures back in the States, and I'm talking about my life, my life for me. And as much as I enjoyed working in politics, I just got tired of the corruption. But since I've been here, seeing what goes on here. It's definitely, someone posted on my Facebook page, Michael, you found your niche. And promoting this country and its greatness, and it's not perfect. I've been gotten emails, you think Israel's perfect. Well, we all know the reality is it's not. But there's so much negativity and lies that are told about the country that it brings me a joy to be able to come to guys like you and talk about what you do and bring that message to the Jewish people from the grassroots that we love you and we stand with you. And it's changed my life. It's changed my life. So, Ben, listen, we need another segment. We're going to do it on another time. But I want to say thank you. What's your website?
Website is www.heritagehouse.org.il.
Okay.
www.heritagehouse.org.il.
And this message is to every American Jew that you want to come to Israel. You don't know why. You've heard about it. You've talked about it. You've read about it. But now's your chance to have a roof over your head.
That's right.
And listen, MichaelAGaneau@gmail.com. What's your email address?
Ben Packer.
BenPacker@gmail.com?
RabbiBenPacker@gmail.com.
Okay. Because maybe you don't even have the money.
We'll even do your laundry.
We'll do your laundry. Let me say this. I'm gonna up the ante. If you are a young person and you're Jewish, and I know there's a lot of ways, but maybe you're in your 20s. Maybe you're past the birthright stage. If you want to come, I personally will make sure that you... I'll help raise you money to come back to the Jewish state, see this country, and I guarantee after you see it, you'll want to live here. And Ben will put a roof over your head. Is that okay for me to throw that obligation?
Okay.
If you're Jewish.
Deal.
And you're in your 20s or 30s and you've never been here, we will help you get here and Ben will put a roof over your head. We'll put you to work. It's not just time to relax.
Holy work.
Exactly, exactly. Ben, thank you for all that you do for the Jewish state.